Today is the feast day of the Holy Trinity, and the gospel sign for this day is taken from St. John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 1st verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. On the Feast of the Holy Trinity, the Church stands at the threshold of the second half of the Church year. The first half of the year, stretching from Advent through the Feast of Pentecost, concludes with on this eighth day of Pentecost, the Feast of the Holy Trinity. The first half of the year emphasizes the ministry of our Lord, from his conception, through his birth, life and teaching, suffering, death, burial, resurrection and ascension, concluding with the fulfillment of the promise of the sending of the Holy Spirit. The second half of the church year also focuses on our Lord's ministry, but looks at the ministry primarily as it continues in the life of the church until the end of the age, the year concluding with the Sunday of the Fulfillment, anticipating our Lord's coming again in glory. It is fitting, then, that the gospel lection for today, this point of connection between the two halves of the year, focuses so beautifully on that eternal gospel which is the hope of God's people in all generations. For there we hear the words, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." The death of Christ on the cross, that he was lifted up for us, was necessary so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Through faith in Christ, we receive the gift of eternal life. The precious heart of the gospel is so simple that a child can believe it. Indeed, our Lord holds up the little children as the models of faith. And yet the gospel and all of the sacred revelation contained in God's holy word is so rich that there is no end to the blessings and the depths of its riches to be explored. When Nicodemus came by night to our Lord, he came as one with a responsibility to be, in Jesus' words, a teacher of Israel. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." That is, they were to continue to teach what Moses had taught. If they had fulfilled their responsibility, they would have prepared the people and led them to Christ. Instead, a lone Pharisee came to Jesus by night, acknowledging what so many of the others would not. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now Nicodemus says, "We know," which would certainly seem to be a reference to the rest of the Pharisees. This would imply that they knew that the signs were the proof of Jesus' teaching, but they did not want to acknowledge it. They were comfortable in their own righteousness and didn't want to be disturbed, certainly not with the knowledge that they were sinners. They didn't want to acknowledge that they needed a Savior, as our Lord clearly taught. Jesus said concerning the Pharisees, "They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." Puffed up with their own status, they neglected that which was needful, that is, to proclaim the word entrusted to them. Instead, they substituted their own teaching and reveled in their status in the eyes of men. But while the Pharisees enjoyed great status in the eyes of men, they had neglected their calling to be teachers of Israel. Nicodemus was, arguably, among the very best of the Pharisees, and still the Lord says to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" The Pharisees knew every last jot and tittle of their own law, but they neglected the divine word. Thus Jesus rebuked them in Matthew chapter 23. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." Without faith, it is impossible to please God, and so all their labors were in vain. Today in the Divine Service, as we do every year on Trinity Sunday, we confess our faith using the words of the Athanasian Creed, one of the three ecumenical creeds and a part of our Lutheran confessions. In this creed we confess, "Whosoever will be saved, before all things, is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which faith except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly." Now the Catholic faith is not to be confused with the errors of the Roman Church, a church body which has no right to call itself Catholic, because it deviates from the faith taught, revealed, in the Holy Scriptures. Any church body which vacillates on the necessity of faith in Christ for salvation has deviated from the Athanasian Creed, and Rome's confession has departed from this biblical confession, especially since the Vatican II Council. The Catholic faith is that one true faith taught in the Holy Scriptures. The creeds and faithful confessions are summaries of that true faith. Thus, creeds and confessions are a protection against the commandments and opinions of men. Creeds and confessions uphold the teaching of Holy Scripture. The danger of placing man's will or man's law over God's word is a danger in every generation. It is the temptation to place our trust not in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but in the institutions and traditions of men apart from Scripture. Our forefathers in the faith observed in our constitutions for this parish that our purpose is to proclaim the gospel as it is confessed in the Book of Concord of 1580 AD. They understood what was at stake in the pure proclamation of God's word and the importance of remaining in the unity of the one true faith. They believed that God's law and gospel are unchanging, and they clung to that faithful exposition of God's word, which is contained in our Lutheran confessions. In our generation, however, there are many who again turn to the laws and opinions of men, trusting in synodical bylaws, committee or commission opinions and rulings, synodical presidents who stand above accountability, pastors and congregations who imagine they are no longer accountable to Holy Scripture and the Lutheran confessions because some district or synodical bureaucrat gave them permission to do that which Scripture forbids. And I tell you today, if you are putting your hope in your synodical membership rather than placing your faith in God's word and in the promises which God gives you in that word, then you have deviated from the Lutheran faith and indeed have deviated from the biblical faith, putting your faith and confidence not in the word of God, the promises of God, but in the words of men, which change, and in the institutions built by men. The challenge which confronts every generation is this: will you be faithful? At the time of our Lord's earthly ministry, much of the visible church at that time, which is to say Israel, failed the test. Only a small remnant clung to the truth. How many from among the Pharisees, the teachers of Israel, followed our Lord? Well, we know of Nicodemus and of St. Paul, later on, but are hard-pressed to think of many others. throughout the heresies and crises of the early days of the Church, Gnosticism, Docetism, Arianism, and a host of other heresies, were followed by the crises of the Middle Ages and the Age of the Reformation. Every generation faces the challenge. Will you uphold the Catholic faith, or will you follow the opinions of men? What is at stake in your answer to that question is your salvation. The word of the Lord still calls, repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. But if one is tempted to ask, with Nicodemus, how can a man be born when he is old? Thanks be to God that the unchanging answer of the Lord is, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This new birth of water and the Spirit, the sacrament of holy baptism, is the gift of God which makes us partakers of the grace of God. We could not give a new heart or spirit to ourselves, but the one who first fashioned our hearts and spirits remakes us through baptism. It is as our Lord declared, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. The Pharisaical spirit wants to make salvation based on laws, procedures, and programs of men. Thus they reject the gospel as too simple. It can't be that easy, they claim. But our salvation was far from easy. It came at the greatest possible cost, the Son of God suffering and dying for us to accomplish our salvation. Our salvation came because of the work of Jesus Christ. No work of ours could ever have been enough. This is what our Lord is referring to when he says to Nicodemus, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. When the people were in the wilderness, there were those who grumbled against the Lord and Moses, saying, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. The Lord punished their sin by sending fiery serpents to bite them. But the Lord still had mercy upon them by having Moses fashion a bronze serpent, so that all who looked to the bronze serpent would not die from having been bitten by a serpent. Now Jesus said to Nicodemus, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Lifted up upon the cross, the sinless Son of God offered his life as the sacrifice for sin, so that all who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Through faith in Christ, we receive the gift of eternal life. Now we receive the fruit of our Savior's suffering and death, when we believe in him. The word and holy baptism are the means which the Lord uses to create faith in our hearts, for the Holy Spirit works through these means to bring us to repentance and create faith. The word brought forth fruit in Nicodemus, for the one who first came to Jesus at night came openly, together with Joseph of Arimathea, to claim the body of Jesus after Jesus' crucifixion and to bury him. Faith overcame fear, and hope clung to the word, the teaching of Christ. Among the most amazing words of our Lord are those which he spoke to Nicodemus. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Think about what Jesus is saying when he says, the Son of Man who is in heaven. It is as if he were saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you see me standing before you, and so I am. But I am also at the same moment in heaven. With a few words, our Lord teaches this Pharisee exactly who he is. Not only a rabbi, but Jesus is the teacher who is God himself, the one who is in heaven and on earth. Thus, even now our Lord is in heaven, and yet he is always with us, even unto the end of the age. And so, too, he gives to us his body and blood in the holy sacrament for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who has given unto us thy servants grace, by the confession of a true faith, to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and the power of the divine majesty, to worship the unity, we beseech thee that thou wouldst keep us steadfast in this faith, and evermore defend us from all adversities, who lives and reigns ever one God, world without end. Amen.